listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's two tickets to a concert. It's a Daytona Airbrush.
Tonight, it is the Hugh Jackson Show. Each and every Thursday night at 7 p.m., Coach Hugh Jackson, along with myself, breaks down the film from the previous game, previews the matchup ahead, also get to know the players better in one-on-one interviews with Matt Wilhelm and Dustin Fox. This week, Matt Wilhelm is with Kevin Hogan. Dustin Fox is with Christian Kirksey. I'm with head coach Hugh Jackson throughout the show. It's the Hugh Jackson Show, and if you can't catch it Thursday, you have another chance Saturday at noon only, and the only place to catch it is News 5.
Say it again?
News 5. The Hugh Jackson Show on News 5. That's tonight. And on Saturday at noon, also News 5, that's where you're going to get the alumni special.
That had to be a very tough executive decision.
What, to go to News 5?
Yes.
They had to love it. I bet they started saying it. They were probably like hanging out there like, News 5. And they're like, yeah, I like it. I dig it.
It's a winner.
I don't even remember that. I don't even remember the News Channel 5. What?
Wait, that's on television?
News Channel 5.
It's like you're taking over the world when you say News 5.
News 5! I mean, think about the Browns lineup you've got on News 5. Thursday night at 7 o'clock, it's the Hugh Jackson Show, which I just told you all about. Saturday at noon, it's the Hugh Jackson Show, which I just told you about. Sunday at 11, it's Browns Countdown, which is the only game day show that takes you on the field before kickoff. The best analysis you can find in the Cleveland area about the Browns, their opponent, the game, the matchup, everything you need to know with myself, Nathan Zagura, Andy Baskin, Hanford Dixon, and of course the great Matt Wilhelm. Get an exclusive look inside the building as the team preps for the matchup ahead and get the most up-to-date reports and analysis that only News 5 can provide. So that's Sunday at 11. Then Sunday at 5:30, keep it right there on News 5 for the alumni special, 1986. The Browns Beyond the Drive. Relive what made that year so special and the team so special on and off the field. Hear from Bernie, Frank Minifield, Hanford Dixon, Dan Fike, Kevin Mack, Marty Schottenheimer, and more about everything from the passing of Don Rogers to the making of the cult classic Masters of the Gridiron. All on News 5! News 5! All right, let's take a look now at the defense of this Jets team. We'll start with the tail of the tape. They are 16th in total defense, 356.9 yards per game. The Browns, of course, total defense are 31st, 425 yards a game. Rush defense, they are second in the NFL, giving up just 74.1 yards per game. Pass defense, though, 27th. They've got Revis Island. How are they 27th? 282.7
yards per
game.
People have, like, rowboats on their way to that island now.
Yeah, right now it's kind of like a luxury cruise. It's like that private island. You know, you go on a cruise in the Bahamas and they bring you their private island where only you can hang out there. That's like what Revis Island is right now. Scoring defense, they're 23rd, giving up 25.7 points per game. They're tied for 18th with 13 sacks on the season. Now, they're good on third downs. They do a good job getting off the field. 37% allowed. That is 12th best in the NFL. But in the red zone, they are bad. Their red zone defense, 26th in the NFL. Only 6 takeaways. That's also tied for 26th in the league. And their giveaways, that's where they are the worst. 17 giveaways. That is 32nd worst in the National Football League. So let's get to know these starters on defense. And for this team, Matt Wilhelm, it all starts up front where they have absolute beasts. Leonard Williams, Muhammad Wilkerson, Sheldon Williams, Sheldon Richardson, I'm sorry, Steve McClendon. It's McClendon, the former Steeler, who's having a very nice season already. He had 2 sacks in the opener, season high with 2 sacks as well. This is a defense, again, 74.1 yards per game. And then you have the big three. Wilkerson leads the team with 7 tackles for a loss. You've got Leonard Williams leads the team with 5 sacks, which is tied for 6th.
And hold on, Leonard Williams leads the team in tackles.
In tackles, that's what I said earlier. 32 on the season.
39
on the season, I'm sorry. 32 solos, most among the defensive line. Sheldon Richardson, another guy that's just been a monster all year. And so you have those 4 guys at the point of attack. This is going to be a tough one for the Browns offensive line.
It is, and I wouldn't be surprised that if Hugh Jackson, and watching this film, working with Kirby Wilson as well as Pep Hamilton, that you might want to work the edges of the defense instead, because, you know, moving these individuals is first and foremost not going to be easy. Then secondly, it's maintaining those blocks because of how active and destructive these guys are. They don't, you know, we don't know their names. They don't roll off our tongue the way they do. if they were just guys. These guys don't stay blocked very long, and you can't double everyone up to the backer. So that's why David Harris, who I believe missed a game a couple weeks ago,
yeah, 2 weeks ago,
but it was the first game of his career. When you play behind guys like Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson, and you added Leonard Williams 2 years ago to this defensive line, you get to skate free, you know, making plays. And then I think what the mentality behind the Darren Lee selection in the first round is, yes, you want to bolster the defense because of what the offense was last year and what you thought it would be this year. So you invest that first-round pick in a guy like Darren Lee. And even furthermore, with such a great front four, knowing that you can pressure a quarterback with just those four guys, you don't have to blitz a lot. And if you recall going back to last year, I'll say the last 2 years for a lot of us, you know, watching the Buckeyes, yes, Darren Lee was a very active blitzer, but we didn't have to do it. He was walked out over the number two receiver, you know, in the slot. We didn't have to get into a nickel coverage, so he's very comfortable in space. He's very good in space, and that allows you to keep your base defense on the field an awful lot and yet still have linebackers running around, active, making tackles, feeling comfortable making that one-on-one tackle against guys like Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson on flare screens. And I'll be very honest, practicing in training camp against a guy like Matt Forte, signed via free agency, only helps this linebacking crew each and every week get ready for whatever back they're going to see. So a very, very good front, and they're going to, as I mentioned, they're going to be able to drop seven an awful lot. So for Josh McCown, and that's why Josh McCown most likely, after watching this film, is probably going to get the nod instead of going with Kevin Hogan, who doesn't see fronts like this or coverage like this, you know, in the Pac-12.
Absolutely, and you have people that are upset. There's some people on Twitter. Our guy Cam from Canada is not happy that they're starting McCown over Hogan, saying we're in a rebuild. Let's find out what we have in Hogan. This team needs a win.
I saw all I needed to see from him last week.
It's a significant difference in where Josh McCown is, and I know his winning percentage hasn't been the best, but he definitely gives you the best chance to win, and you're putting Kevin Hogan in an awful situation against this front.
You definitely are, and I think even furthermore, and just to talk, you know, I don't say directly to Cam from Canada, but Cam, you have to understand that our head coach wants to win football games. His mind, I don't believe, ever will switch to development and see what we got. It's chase perfection, chase greatness, and in this case, after going 0-7, it's chasing a victory.
Yes, they absolutely need that victory, and this is the best chance for it. By the way, Sheldon Richardson, Leonard Williams, two of the top-rated defensive linemen this season by pundits as well as the good folks at Pro Football Focus. Their linebackers, you talked about them, David Harris, Darren Lee, Jordan Jenkins, Lee and Jenkins, both rookies. Lee third on the team with 35 tackles this season. Harris had snapped. He had started 121 consecutive regular season games before missing a game 2 weeks ago. He did return to the lineup against Baltimore. Now, these corners, to me, have struggled this year, and that's where you can get at this team. And you're talking about Darrell Revis, Buster Skrine, and of course, those are the corners, the safeties, Calvin Pryor, Marcus Gilchrist. Now, I think Gilchrist is having a good season, Pryor not so much, but the corners of the New York Jets have really, really struggled this year. We saw at one point Buster Skrine benched in the game against the Arizona Cardinals. We've also seen Revis struggle. Here are the numbers. Marcus Williams is the third corner for him. Listen to these numbers. Buster Skrine's been targeted 42 times. He's given up 31 catches for 316 yards, two touchdowns, an opposing quarterback rating of 100.9. Darrell Revis has been targeted 31 times this year. He's given up 22 catches, that's 71%, 286 yards and a touchdown, an NFL rating of 110.4 when targeted. And their third corner, Marcus Williams, he's been targeted 36 times, given up 24 catches, 388 yards, two touchdowns, and an NFL quarterback rating of 97.9. Revis does not have an interception on the year. Buster's got one. Marcus Williams has two. But right now, this secondary is where they are struggling, and I think they are struggling mightily so far. Their safeties I actually like. I think Pryor and Gilchrist can both play. Gilchrist, former San Diego Supercharger. But you can get at these guys. And when you look in the numbers in terms of coverage, though, both allowing quarterback ratings of over 100 against them. So this whole secondary has been victimized all year.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's still – you statistically go into this football game and say, I'm going to test these guys.
Well, you're not going to. I don't think you're going to run the ball on this Jets team. So I think you've got to come into this game.
Right,
but I meant
you have to attack, you know, the weaknesses. And I think it's something that we've said time and time again, week after week now, is the incorporation of Duke Johnson. We mentioned it last week. Vontaze Burfict, you know, Carlos Dansby, Ray Maluga, and matching up against Crow, who's been better through the air, you know, receiving the football, as well as Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson should be in the, I hate to say it, but in the football game, you know, 30 to 40 snaps a game and get 10 to 15 touches a game.
And John Costco, our guy from Pro Football Focus who checks in with us, says that Darren Lee has graded thus far as the lowest graded coverage linebacker in the NFL. He's given up 255 yards and 3 touchdowns already this year. So getting Duke Johnson on Darren Lee, we know that David Harris is much more of a thumper than he is.
Or even Barnage in that case. Because I'm sure a lot of those catches come versus, you know, Darren Lee. You know, Todd Bowles, a defensive guy, says Darren Lee can handle all this as a rookie. So I'm going to put him on this stud tight end. And that tight end is one. Based on the statistics you just rattled off.
This is the game to get Barnage into the end zone. We need him to score. He's been very good over 60
yards.
Well, you
just want to see a celebration.
I want to see a win.
HBK.
And I think scoring touchdowns helps the Browns
win the game. Well, and I think even furthermore, as you dove into the offensive stats, and now the defensive stats, the one thing that still jumps out at me, and I made that point about Decker Marshall in the red zone, and you said they're in like the mid-20s in offensive red zone efficiency. Well, then mid-20s defensive red zone efficiency, so when they do move the football, they struggle to get in. So keeping them out and or forcing Nick Folk to kick field goals all day will give Josh McCown and this offense a great opportunity. And then even furthermore, when we get down there, we on our accord cannot settle with Cody Parkey field goals. It's creep that ball inside. It's like a healthy Terrell Pryor and Gary Barnes, as you mentioned, who had, you know, was very good in the red zone last year, incorporating Duke Johnson against Darren Lee down there in the red zone. We need to take advantage of those guys in their one-on-one matchups.
Yeah, the Jets, believe it or not, 31st, as we said, in red zone offense, 26th in red zone defense. The Browns, 30th in red zone defense. They've got to improve there, but 12th in red zone offense. I mean, there are numbers in there. If you want to take the optimistic approach to it, what Hugh Jackson and company is doing with this offense, I really think is kind of amazing. And that's one of those stats to me that is kind of amazing. 12th in red zone efficiency with this offense. I think he's doing a good job. Defensively, though, they need
to step it up. And the thing is when you look at, I'll say it, I'm just playing both sides. The teams that are ranked 11 through first, how many more opportunities do they have in the red zone?
That I do not
know. And I'm not saying I'm expecting you to have it off the top of your cup, but it's like, we've had limited opportunity. We've had a lot of failed drives. You know, I think going through our scoring drives or the drives of a game, there's a lot of 3-0, 3-0, 4-0. So yes, we're 12th in the league on opportunities, which is a very, very good thing. It's we need the frequency of putting drives together, punting a team in deep and flipping the field and forcing them to go 90 yards on us. I think in some cases we fail drives, punt them the ball, they go 60 yards and score. That's the difference in our football season thus far.
Sure, we've given up plenty of big plays as well to other teams. The Browns haven't got them as much so far this season. But they have been efficient down there in the red zone. They have not been there a lot, but when they have, they have made
it
count,
which is
good.
Which is a good thing.
You know what's funny? I'm at NFL.com looking for, you know, the team stats. They don't break it out by red zone opportunities.
No.
But you get them by every team's got that. They've got their red zone percentages, et cetera. Most of them have the opportunities in there as well. But we don't have that yet for this particular game. I can tell you the Browns have been efficient. The Jets have not been. That's why they are 2-5. The Browns 0-7, though, on the season. A lot of it has to do with those defensive rankings. 31st overall, 29th against the pass, 31st against the rush, 30th in scoring, 31st on third downs, 30th in the red zone. Not good numbers that need to improve if the Browns do want to get a W. One of the guys they're going to have to stop in this game on the defensive side of the ball will be Brandon Marshall of the New York Jets. He spoke with the Cleveland media, and we will hear from him next.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Again, the Hugh Jackson Show tonight, 7 o'clock on TV, on News 5, on the radio, along the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Myself, Ken Carman, that is at 7 o'clock as well. So you can get it two ways, radio, TV, the Hugh Jackson Show. All right, let's hear from Brandon Marshall now, one of the most colorful characters in the NFL. He spoke with the Cleveland media earlier today.
Brandon, what's kind of the mindset, you know, when you guys know you're coming in to face a winless team?
Shoot, we're almost winless, so I don't think that matters.
we're just taking it one game at a time, and they happen to fall on our schedule, so we got to take care of business. But we're sitting here at 2-5. Our season hasn't been pretty either, you know. So we're still trying to turn it around.
How has the you know, the situation with Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of played out as your week is going along here? I mean, has been any sort of distraction, him calling out the organization and, you know, Geno going down? How is that all going for you guys?
I mean, the National Football League throws so many things at you. It's a lot of adversity, especially when you're losing. So, you know, it's pretty much the story of the start of our season, a lot of adversity. So, you know, to answer your question, it's just another test for us to continue to push and grow. You know, there's no division in our locker room. We're actually closer than ever. So that's a good thing.
Hey, Brandon. You know, obviously, Ryan Fitzpatrick made some statements about, you know, people not believing in him. What's your level of belief in him?
Oh, I love Ryan. I stood on the table for him all last year, this offseason when he's going through the contract negotiations. So that hasn't changed. You know, none of us played well. He's just a starting quarterback, and offense wasn't doing well, so he got the brunt of all of the other extra stuff that comes along with the business when you're not doing well.
Brandon, can you just talk a little bit about, you know, Josh McCown, what you thought of him when you played with him, and do you think that he can provide a spark if he starts for the Browns on Sunday?
Oh, Josh is back. That's my guy, man. Just an awesome man, awesome quarterback. I mean, he's just he's the example, you know, what you want your kid to be. If you want to buy a jersey, that's the jersey you buy. I think you guys know who he is and how he conducts himself, how he approaches everything day to day. I can't speak enough about him, man. He's the best.
How well did he play in Chicago for those of us who weren't with him every day during that season? And you think he still has that in him?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, well, it depends. It's you know, it was the perfect storm for him. You know, it was the perfect offense for him. You know, and he stuck to the script. You know, he went through his reads. You know, he had guys like myself and Martellus and Alshon and Matt Forte, so that helped out a lot. We had an offensive line that did a great job and a great scheme up there. But I think the biggest thing that stood out was his leadership. You know, even when he wasn't starting, he was the glue to the locker room, the glue to the organization. No one worked harder than him. He would be the first one in, well, the second one in. He would be the last one to leave. You know, he was there at 8 o'clock at night. You know, he was the guy that would be he was just awesome, man. He did everything. You know, there was, we had some unique personalities and big personalities in that locker room, especially on the offensive side. So he would keep the offense together and also keep the players connected to the coaches. He did everything.
Can you talk a little bit about Terrell Owens and, you know, just from the standpoint of where you think he ranks in terms of your top receivers that you've ever, you know, been around or seen? And do you think that he should make the Hall of Fame sooner than later?
Terrell Owens, wow. Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, I think he's definitely going to make the Hall of Fame. It's just a matter of when. His numbers and his play on the field puts him up there with the best. So I expect him to get in, if not this year, then the next year or two.
Hey, Brandon, what's it been like adjusting to life without Eric Decker playing on the other side of you?
It's tough when you lose a guy like that, especially your wingman. You know, he takes pressure off of me. I take pressure off of him. But we have faith in our younger guys. Quincy is playing awesome this year. He's actually leading the team in receiving. Then we have rookie Robbie Anderson, who's a stud, and showed up for us this past weekend. And that's good because sometimes all you need is one play to start your season, to jumpstart your career. So he's all that we expected. So hopefully he can continue to build off what he did last week.
Lots of love there from Brandon Marshall for Josh McCown, and all signs pointing, again, the big news in Berea, Hugh Jack saying all signs pointing to Josh McCown returning as the starting quarterback against the Jets on Sunday. I'm happy to see him. Obviously, I'd rather have Cody Kessler out there just because he's the rookie. He's played well. He's earned it, 94 quarterback rating on the season, 67% completions. He's played very well, but if he's not going to be able to go, he's the guy you got to get out there is Josh McCown. Remember, the best stretch of the season really played by the Browns was with McCown under center when they got up 20-0 on the Baltimore Ravens. All right, we'll be back. We'll answer some fantasy football questions, and we'll be back with our final thoughts here on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Dog Pound gear up for the 2016 Cleveland Browns season with new apparel from the Pro Shop at First Energy Stadium. Shop a wide variety of new gear, including hats, t-shirts, jackets, custom jerseys, and more. Season ticket members, remember to swipe your membership card to receive your exclusive discount and a chance to win great prizes. The Pro Shop is open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day, or call 440-824-3427. Let's bring in our producer, Matt Fontana, one last time. Fontana, let's get a little fantasy football action going here. By the way, Wilhelm has been very good when he's been chiming in lately on fantasy football. I just want you to know, I've noticed.
Thank you, man.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
We've got
you. On behalf of our listeners, thank you.
Helping everybody win their leagues. This one's from Eric. It's a PPR league. Needs to start one as a flex. A lot of players here. James White, Mark Ingram, Jordan Matthews, or the we just heard from Brandon Marshall.
How many does he get to go with?
Just one.
Brandon Marshall. The opposing leading receiver, the person who has the most receptions on the opposing team, has scored a touchdown now in 10 straight games against the Browns.
This is from Rick. PPR league flex spot, Devontae Adams or John Brown?
Devontae Adams. John Brown is back practicing today, though, so I do like him, but I think you're going to go there, Devontae Adams.
This one is from he's just talking behind enemy lines. Was just talking about Coach Jackson. This one is a quarterback question. Wants to know Blake Bortles or Carr.
Blake Bortles is not playing well. He's playing on Thursday night. In addition to that, Derek Carr against Tampa Bay, easy one.
How about Quiz versus the Raiders defense?
Keep going with Jaquizz Rodgers. They're giving him the ball, and he is producing.
One final one. This one here is from Tim. I just lost it. Sorry, I lost it.
How about I got a question for you? How about Titans defense tonight going against the Jaguars?
Okay,
I mean they produced some sacks. The Jaguars offensively, you're going to go against Bortles.
Top 10 defense this week,
right? Top 10 defense this week. How about DeMarco Murray?
I think one of the top plays of the week as well. I think the Titans are a great team. If you need to pick somebody up, pick them up and play them. Go ahead and get those Titans. All right, that'll do it for us today. Tomorrow we'll get into the game predictions. We'll get the final news and analysis on this game for you between the Browns and the Jets. The kid should be here in studio.
Whoa.
We'll see.
Two
we'll find out. Who knows? We'll see.
And, he'll be in to talk smack about the Buckeyes.
Yeah, we should have somebody here from the Jets to talk about that football team. For Matt Fontana and Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.